Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
All right, well, listen, I'm really excited. We're starting a new series this morning. How many know it's kind of a junky day out today? It's like, whose big idea was it to have a picnic today? It's kind of like everyone's kind of sleepy and all that kind of stuff. Well, let me see if I can change that a little bit. So anyone watch the NFL draft? Yeah? Any New York Giants fans in here? If you do, I'm sorry. We'll pray for you guys afterwards. All right? It's funny. I want to study the story, and I think we have a picture of Dylan. His name is Dylan McAuliffe, and he's actually the running backs coach for the Kansas City Chiefs, and he played a little bit of pro football, played a little bit in the CFL, so he's somewhat successful. Injuries kind of put him out of the game, and he began to get into coaching, and now he's currently the running back coach for the Kansas City Chiefs. And Dylan, he's happily married, and he started having kids with his wife, and it was funny, as the kids began to grow up, they started asking him questions. Daddy, who's your grandpa? Where do we come from? And this was a very perplexing question to Deland because he was adopted, and he didn't know his biological mom and dad. And so it really began to untether him a bit, and he started asking own questions about his life and his identity. Who am I? And so it brought this kind of little bit of vertigo, if you will. And so if I can take you back in time, flashback, Carol Briggs, as a teenage girl, got pregnant. It was a little bit different time then. She actually went off to a center to go have the baby and immediately put the baby up for adoption. But before she gave the baby away, it says she named him because he needed a name, and she called him John. And so John was his name, and he was John was later adopted, and his name would become Dylan McAuliffe, all right? And so he grew up, his adopted parents wound up divorcing. So they separated, and then that set off some stuff inside of young Dylan in that he didn't have a father figure. There was like no settling in the home, and so there's a little bit of this frustration and this rage, and it found its outlet through football. And so he began to slowly develop through the game of football, and he excelled until in high school, colleges from around the country began to recruit Dylan to come to their university. And one day, there was one just kind of game-changing person came to their school. Sherman Smith. And Sherman Smith was a running back coach for the University of Miami. And so he came to the school one time, and Dylan remembers because he'd never seen a black man with such dignity, poise, integrity. There was something about this man. And oh yeah, he said it didn't hurt that he rolled in a Benz to his school, right? And so so he meets this, and Sherman Smith convinces him to attend the University of Miami. And it was there he would become his running backs coach, his mentor, and really a quasi-father figure to Dylan. And so his career goes on, and eventually Dylan has to retire because of injuries, becomes a successful coach. So now the adoption laws have changed. And now Dylan finds out that he can research who his biological parents are. And so he goes on this journey. He researches, and he finds out that his biological mom, is Carol Briggs. He Facebook stalks her, and then he sends her a Facebook message. Did you have a son that you gave up for adoption named John? Comes back, yes. And then she says, I've been searching for you all my life. He says this, could we meet? And she's not sure if this is a scam or something like this, but in her heart, she never married. She never had any other children. She wanted to meet her son, John. And so they meet, and finally, it's immediately they connected. And then he's going to ask the next logical question, who's my dad? And she said, I never even told your father. We were just kids. I never told him he got me pregnant. And so I don't know if I should tell you. And finally she says, your father's name is Sherman Smith. And so he's like, everything comes before him. And so he always kept in touch with his mentor, Sherman Smith. And he calls him and he says, hey, man. I found my biological mama. And he's like, oh, brother, that's so great. I'm so happy for you. This is so amazing. And he says, yeah. And she told me who the father is. He's like, you know who your dad is now? That's so great. And he says, she said his name is Sherman Smith. Mic drop, you know? And then all this stuff goes through Sherman. And then it comes to find out they did the blood test, DNA test. And sure enough, that was his father. But here's, to me, here's the money line. Is in the article, Dylan says this. He says this. He says, now I know who I am, where I'm from. I have all the pieces to my story, and life makes sense. And really, this is what I want to do with us today, is I want us all to understand the story our life is playing out in. Your story, my story, our story as humanity. And this is the story of God. You don't understand our story, you'll be unsettled, you'll be untethered. Life will be very fragile. But if you understand the story, life makes sense. There's this sense of calm, a sense of I know who I am, I know where I'm from, and ultimately I know where I'm going, all right? And so that's what we want to do. We're going to take the next year, close to a year, and we're going to do a new series, unpacking the story of the Bible. And the Bible, sometimes as you look at it, it can be kind of overwhelming, intimidating. And I just want to show you that I want to be sure that we all understand the story that we're a part of, the story of the Bible. Here's the reality. Have you ever heard of this guy named Moses? Moses is kind of a big deal in the Bible, you know. And Moses, if you understand the story that God's people were in Egyptian bondage and slavery for 400 years, for the record, like, don't just brush over that. Our nation is only 242 years old. And so can you imagine being brought up, the only identity you know is that of a slave. They're probably worshiping the Egyptian gods. They don't know who they are. They're untethered because they don't know where they're from or who they are. And then so God delivers God's people out, but then Moses, you know what he does? He says, here, I need to reorient you with the story. And he writes the book of Genesis. For the record, Moses wrote the first five books of your Bible, the Pentateuch, all right? If Penta means five, took it means books, the five writings. And so that's what Moses did. So he says, let me reorient you around our story. And that began to bring security and identity to God's people. And so if you have a Bible, you know what's so funny? I can't even hold up a Bible anymore. Susan, will you hold it up? We got some old school in here, which is great. And then some of you newer, like, you could pull up your phones, you got that thing. But here's what I need to tell you, what an amazing book our Bible is. Like, there is nothing else on the planet like it. Do you know it was written over a span of 1,500 years? It was written in three languages, on three different continents, over 40 different authors, 66 books, but yet there's one story. Like, do you know how amazing that is? Like, I can't even communicate to somebody 20 years ago, because if I talk to them about the iPhone, they're like, what? The internet? Excuse me? Right? We just don't have it. And yet, over 1,500 years, and yet there's this cogent, coherent story that's been playing out. How about this? Do you know that there's been over 5 billion copies of the Bible made? 5 billion. Like, there's only 6 billion people on the planet. That's not to mention all the digital forms. And this is what really blew my mind. Do you know that if they were to destroy every Bible on the planet, that we could still piece together a complete Bible by every other book written on the planet? Do you know just the writings of Shakespeare reference the Bible 1,200 times? All right. So this book is like nothing else. It's holy. It's divine. And so I think we have a slide. Our next series is going to be a series called Casket Empty. And here's the reason for that. Casket Empty, it's an acronym because we're churchgoers and we just love acronyms. But I really found Casket Empty very profitable, valuable to me, because it helped me remember the line of the story. And so casket empty, C stands for creation. And so we're going to start with at the very beginning of creation that helps you understand your identity and my identity, who God is, right? And then you got A stands for Abraham, the father of the three great monotheistic faiths that are on the planet today. The father of faith, right? You got Abraham. Then S is for Sinai. Sinai is the mountaintop where you get the commands of God, all right? What do we get? K is for kings. E is for exile, and T is for temple. Then we get into E. E is expectation, waiting for the M, which is the Messiah. P is getting us to Pentecost, the day that the church was birthed on the earth. And then T, you get the teachings of Paul, of Peter. That's all the epistles. And then Y, you get yet to come, or the what's coming, Revelation, all right? So you guys will remember all that. And that is the simple series. Listen, I'm a dumb retired hockey player. I got it in like two sittings, all right? So we're going to nail this as a church. Did you know that like sociologists, they say this, that there's four big questions that every human being is asking. Everyone, not just Christians, everyone. And they're this: who am I? Why am I here? What's wrong with the world? And how can it be fixed? And I believe that our story answers that question better than those questions better than any other story on the planet. And so here's my brief outline for today. I've called ours message for today as our story in 3D. And me being a pastor, I'm going to make every point start with a D, all right? And so here we're going to see how our story, it defines us, it directs us, and then it deploys us, all right? And so, Lord, I pray that you give us great grace today, ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to understand. And so let's look at point number one here, how the story, it defines us. The story defines us. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. So we're going to get right to the beginning in creation. Verse 26, God says this: then God said, let us make man in our image. So right off the bat, we realize, wow, there's an us to God, right? After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing. And so ladies, you have authority over the creeps, all right? Verse 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And so here's, if you're a Christian this morning, a Jesus follower, to answer the question, who am I? Can I answer that? Because we just read it. You are a unique, distinct image bearer of God, of infinite worth and value. You have an unbelievable purpose in life. God's called you to bear his image in the earth, to go and take dominion, to be fruitful and to multiply. Like, that's God's calling on your life. That's what our story says, who we are and why we're here. But there are other stories out there, all right? And so let me just give you a few of those. So if you're an evolutionist or an atheist, you have a different story. Your story is this: you are a cosmic accident, that there is this just unknown forces collided, Big Bang. For the record, I believe that there's a God behind that Big Bang, but just random chance happens, and now through lucky mud, you and I have evolved. And so here's what that means. You come from nothing, you're worth nothing, and you'll return to nothing. Congratulations, right? I prefer our story. There's another one, deists or agnostics, they have a story. And so deism just means, hey, I think there's a God, there probably is, but he just made us and then he's just gone. He's out of here. And so if that's you today, that you believe that we're a cosmic experiment, that there was some kind of God or some deity, and he just kind of mashed us. He created us. Wow, that was cool. I wonder how this is going to turn out. And he leaves us to our own devices. And so what that means, who are you today? You're something that's unloved, uncared for, and abandoned. All right? Once again, congratulations on your story. There's another one that's very prevalent today, and that is this humanistic idea that God doesn't define me. No one else defines me. I define me. And this is unbelievably prevalent and championed. And here's what I want to ask us all. Please pay attention to our culture. How is that working out for us? Right? I'm going to be my own God. I'm going to define myself. Do you know you can go this morning on nyc.gov, the New York City government website, and they have on it 31 gender identifiers. I can't name five, you know. There's 31. Something that's been historically very simple. But we untether ourselves from God and we say, no, I got this. And what happens? Confusion. I'll take it another level. Do you know, like male and female are amazing. And we just read that God made them distinctly male and distinctly female. And I don't know if you can tell in our culture, but our culture is trying to mash those two things together and have us be the same. And it's just killing me because we're not the same. You get any four-year-old, stand a woman next to a man and go, nope, they're different, right? But our culture is wanting to mash us all together like this, and it's robbing us. Things that I celebrate and champion, things that are distinctly female and feminine, and may you never change. And men, may you stand and be distinctly male, all right? And so may we do that. But anyways, here's another one. We're confused as to what's a marriage, what's a father, what's a mother, all these different things. So do you see now something that was so solid and secure, we untether ourselves from God and God's story, and now things become very mushy, very soft, very confusing. It's Romans 1:22. It says, thinking themselves to be wise, they became fools. And that's just kind of our culture and where we're at if we choose to define ourselves. Here's some other stuff, too. You might have some friends that are like this, but we choose to define ourselves by all kinds of ridiculous stuff that could be taken from us at any moment. Here's something like we define ourselves by our clothes. We define ourselves by our looks. I got news for you. Those are changing. Gravity wins every time. All right. We define ourselves by our cash, by our success, by our jobs. Every single one of these things are unbelievably fragile and can be stolen from you in a moment and in an instant. So I share this story. I shared this before, but not a car guy. If you're a car guy in here, I'm not judging you or anything like that. But early in our marriage, I went and got our car. I bought a car for us. It was a Honda Civic hatchback. No radio, no air conditioning, stick shift. I thought it was amazing. And my wife, from that moment on, was like, you are never buying cars again. And so my wife loves cars. I love my wife. And so she picks the cars. So we got a used black 5 Series BMW a few years back. So we got this car. And I was pastoring a church in Manhattan as well at the time. And so having to go into Manhattan. And every time I go into Manhattan, a new piece of my car is stolen. So you know the BMW logo on the rims? So each time I would go, they would steal one of the rim logos, right? Till there was none, until I drove in the last time, someone ripped the hood logo off my car. And so if you were to ask me, hey, what kind of car do you have? The black kind. Just the black kind. The logo, everything's stolen from it, right? And just as easy as that was ripped off from my car, your identity can be stolen from you in a moment. Your identity as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as someone who's beautiful, intelligent, all these different things can be taken from you. And so it's unbelievably fragile. But do you know what? What if we could be defined by something or someone who is unchanging? Who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Immovable and unchangeable. How amazing would that be? Would that breathe some security into you and I? And so now, see, we've remained secure as we remain tethered into our story. That you are the unique image bearer of God. That there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Right? But now, when we understand our story, listen to this. I want you to see this as well. Is that it leads us into human flourishing. Always. Our story, it gives us the backbone for human rights, for civil rights, for equality, for human liberty. All these different things, they're the backbone from the story of our Bible. You get outside of those and you know what you get? Racism, chauvinism, feminism. You get oppression, exploitation, over and over. And so we got to stay dialed into our story. Here's the second thing. It not only defines us, but our story, it directs us. It directs us on how to live life and where we're headed as a people. And so if you could look at Psalms, or as one of my teammates told me, the Psalms, Psalms 19, verse 7, it says this. It says, the law of the Lord, or the Bible, is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. That listen, you can be a simple person, but if you align your life with the word of God, suddenly you become wise. Psalm 119, verse 105 says this, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That we don't have to grope around in darkness and guess how life works. That God has laid out his design for human flourishing in and through his word. He showed us how to order our footsteps in a way that can navigate life the way he designed it to work. And so as God's words are designed to do that. And listen to me. If you get outside of this, and listen, I've been guilty of this. I'm sure you've been guilty of this. But there's just times you go, I think I'm smarter than God. Like you know, you wouldn't verbalize that, but the way your life, like, I know you say to do it this way, God, but I just think I know better than you. Anybody? And so I want to show you this on display. We have a video of a little boy who just thinks he's so much smarter than his mom. I wonder if you guys have seen this one before. Let's see.
The child will not stop insisting on tasting this. I keep telling him it's going to be gross, but he does not want to listen. So I'm going to let him find out for himself.
What is this?
Go spit it out. Come on, get to the sink.
Hey, tell me that is not us before an eternal, all-knowing, all-seeing God. I don't think so, God. I think this is going to be delicious and fun. And then it just grows stale in our mouth. And so parents, how many parents are in here? Here's what I'm going to tell you. What you don't do is you don't let your kid choose much, because what they'll do is they're going to hurt themselves, right? Because you're the parent, you've known life longer than them, you kind of have a better understanding how life works and what's best for them. And so they don't get to choose what they wear. And if they do, I feel sorry for your kid. They don't get to choose what they eat, because how many know that they would eat cotton candy for every meal? They don't get to choose what time they go to bed at night, because they would stay up all night watching ridiculous stuff. They don't get to choose if they go to school or not, because guess what? They would not go, all right? And so we get to see all these things. See, it's because we're wiser. We've lived longer than our kids. We know better. God, who is eternal, and I'm 50, and I know what you're saying to yourself. Man, I can't believe he's 50. He looks so young. But we see that, see, God knows better than us. And tell me this isn't apparent to us, but oftentimes, see, we approach God as slaves rather than sons and daughters. See, because, a taskmaster, what he does, he says, you do this, and you do this for my good. But do you know what a father does? A father says, son, daughter, you do this, you do this, you do this for your good. And that's what the commands of God are about. They're about our good. And so the question, what's wrong with the world? I love it. Our story, it informs us that our world is under a curse, that sin has broken and fractured God's original design for it. And so here's what I know. Because I know my story, I'm not surprised when occasionally life hits me in the face. I'm not like, what the world? How did this happen? Of course it did. The world's broken right now. But here's the amazing thing is our story, God gives us a map, in how to avoid the least amount of collateral damage. How many have heard of the Proverbs? God gives us wisdom for living, right? God gives us ways to order our footstep, how to do marriage right, how to do money right, all these different things so we can avoid and navigate life well. And here's another thing is, you know, for us, though life might be difficult at times, do you know, for me, if you know the story, you know the end of the story, that we win, that hope springs eternal for us. And so there's a guy, a woman by the name of Florence Chadwick. I've told her story before, but this is, I believe she's back in the 1950s. She was the first woman to swim across the English Channel. So it was a big deal. And so she actually set up something that where she was going to swim from Catalina Island all the way to the California coast. It's 21 miles. And so this is a big deal. All the media's there. And so her team was in a boat next to her as she's making her way towards the California coast. And as she did, the fog rolled into the coast of California. So much so that she couldn't see the end. And so as her strides, as the destination was disappearing, her strides became less and less confident, weaker and weaker, until finally she quit. She got back into the boat, fog lifts, and she was a half a mile away from her destination. And so what happens, but when you don't know the ending, then suddenly you can become discouraged. But if you know the ending, hope can abound. Life abounds. And so we are filled with hope today. And this, here's our hope, that God says, while things might be messed up now, I'm coming again. I'm going to rip the sky open. I'm going to make all sad things untrue. I'm going to wipe every tear from your eye. I'm going to remove sickness and disease. Men, you know, like when you get that hair growing out of your ears and your nose, right? God's going to remove that trash, all right? We're going to have resurrected bodies, and it's all going to be good. There's a confidence and a security when we know the ending. I think it was last weekend. When was the Masters? Was that last weekend? The week before that. So there's a guy. His name is Eldrick Taunt Woods. Eldrick Taunt Woods, A.K.A. Tiger Woods. You guys remember him? So I remember just my phone started blowing up. And I'm like, I turn the TV on, and it says, wow, Tiger's in the hunt, like that. And my daughter, she starts Googling, blah, 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 blah. She does it, and she goes, oh, yeah, Dad, he already won. It's tape delayed. And I'm like, you know, it took all the drama out of it. But you know what I wasn't doing? I was like, oh, I wonder if he's going to do it. I wonder if he's going to make it. None of that stuff. There was just, let's move on, all right? Everything, life is good, okay? And we just go. And that's kind of our thing. The story is, guess what? Tiger won. And I hate to, spoiler alert, you win. We win in the end. It's why the Apostle Paul could have life go at him so hard. Like this man was beaten time and time again. And you know what his response is? He says this present suffering, it's just not worthy to be compared to the future glory. Man, they just kept saying, man, we're going to kill you. We're going to kill you, Paul. And you know what he'd say? Man, to die is gain. And so there's an incredible anchor to life when we're anchored into the story of God. And here's the last part. I'm going to ask Kim to come on up. Is that the story deploys us. The story deploys us. So this weekend, they released a movie you might have heard of, Avengers Endgame. How many? Anybody see it? A few of us do not tell me. All right? I don't want to know. Avengers Endgame is supposed to blow away all the box office receipts. They're expecting $300 million over the next 3 days, all right? And so here's the reality. We love that trash. Like, I can't wait to go see it. And it's the same movie every single time. Like, hero movie after hero movie after hero. We're just insatiable. We can't get enough of it. And here's the reality. It's because the human soul, we long to be heroic. We just do. And if you know the story, you'll realize this, it's hardwired into you.
That when God set Adam and Eve into the garden, he tells them this. He says, you protect it and you keep it.
There's something inside the human soul that we know we're called to something great, to be heroic with our life. Do you know something's gone wrong in the world? If you don't believe me, just go to Barnes & Noble's down the street. And you know what the biggest section will be? Self-help. Because people know, hey man, something's not right. I don't know if you've paid attention, like like humanity, we try and fight back disease. Did you hear what the latest disease that's come back to life for us? Like measles, right? It's like Friday the 13th. You think you killed it, and now it's come back again, angrier. And so did you ever have this moment in your life where, I mean, things are just right, they're going well, and there's this little dark thought that clouds your mind? This cannot last. You know what that is? That's a clue to you that, man, things are just not as they should be. But 2,000 years ago, there was a man who came to earth, and he entered into the darkness, and he says this, I am the light of the world. And he pushed back everything that was broken, healed the sick, raised the dead, and so light was introduced. I don't know if you know this, but do you know light has never lost a battle with darkness? You've never gone into your room and flicked on the light and darkness says, not today, right? No, light wins every time. And here's the amazing thing is that before Jesus left the earth, he looked to his people and he says, now you are the light of the world. Like God has a great mission and a purpose for us to push back all that's dark. Our last text is in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. And before you can understand Hebrews 12, you got to understand Hebrews 11. And that's where all these light bearers of God from the Old Testament are referenced. Moses, who did this by faith. Abraham, who did this by faith. Sarah, who did this by faith. All God's heroes from the past. And now we read in Hebrews chapter 12, after that, it says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, by so many heroes bearing light in the earth, says this, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. I love the NIV, it says this, that Jesus, he is the author and he is the finisher of our faith. I'm not sure if you know the creator of the Marvel comics. There's a guy by the name of Stan Lee. He passed away. But an interesting thing is in all the Marvel comic movies, he makes a cameo appearance. Have you guys seen that? And he appears in all the movies, some 35 to 60 cameo, and it becomes fun to find him in the story. And here's what I know. Like, I think we have some images of him. Here's a Stan Lee as a FedEx guy. He's in, this is a Captain America. We have another one where he's next to the Black Panther, right? Just playing a guy gambling next to him. And then my favorite movie, and I'm not, Guardians of the Galaxy is the best one, right? So just get off me. And in Guardians of the Galaxy, he plays an older gentleman. I think he's hitting on a younger girl. But here's my point is this. You know, at some point, God shows up in your story. The author and the finisher, he shows up in our life. And he's going to do one of two things. He invites you into salvation, or he sends you off into a mission. And I don't know where we're at this morning, but I pray that none of us would be spectators. Listen, God has come into your story today.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.